Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, you trying to stay warm?
Absolutely. We had a fun week this week. In fact, if you were checking our Facebook and YouTube page, you probably saw the videos of all of my compadres who got stuck. People were like, where did you guys learn to park? And we said, well, people that got stuck, we just said, just park it where you got stuck
just
in the parking
park
lot.
Park it where you got... Man, I tell you what, that was the case this past week.
Looks like a Monopoly board.
With more snow and then school cancellations and delays. And I tell you what, it was definitely, like we were saying at the office, we had to fight to keep the lot clear and the sidewalks cleared and the places open. And I had four or five different people call us this week or friends text me and be like, have you even sold any houses in this garbage? How are you doing it? So luckily
you've had some showings, haven't you?
We've had quite a few showings, and actually it was a pretty productive week as far as contracts written. And you know, we talked a little bit about that last week as we went over some stuff, because you know, it really is a relevant topic to real estate, and right now in the last 3 weeks is being a little bit creative, pulling the bootstraps up, getting out there, getting those showings done. And the thing about it, the hard part about it is it's chipped away at our inventory a little bit. So we are talking with a lot of sellers right now. We actually have some new listings that have come on board in the last week and a half that are going to be some great listings and are a need. And one of those, in fact, we sold before we even got the ink dry on the paperwork.
Wow.
It was literally one of those deals where I was like, hey, I've got the buyers. We've been looking. We know exactly what's going on. The bonus, we still had properties in multiple offers last week, and a lot of that just has to do with the lower supply of inventory. We also had a couple buyers not be in multiple offer, honestly, because I think the weather. We were able to get with our clients, meet them out there, get them through the house, get an offer written, and get it accepted. Really, I would say, like, before the general public had an opportunity to get out there. So going a little bit the extra mile right now is necessary
if you're willing to
get through.
If you're willing to shovel and ice melt, if people can get to the house without walking through snow, if they're serious.
Absolutely. They're going to be there, and they're likely going to be there with their checkbooks right now. So talk about a big checkbook. We always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story.
Mm-hmm.
And this one coming around the corner, I tell you what, Ivanka Trump moving to D.C., she's got some responsibilities there with dad starting to take over the presidency. And so she was looking for a place. Her and her husband, Jared Kushner, and their three children are actually going to be living at least part-time. They are in a 1923 colonial home that they've taken up residence in Washington, D.C. Absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous home. It sold in December for $5.5 million, and the article that I got this information from on coming off of Zillow.com and the Washington Post was another source cited there, did say that it's unclear if they bought it though or if they're going to be renting. But either way, the neighborhood should be happy. Zillow also puts out a report of the most desirable celebrity neighbors, and Ivanka coming in there number 8, McKay.
Wow.
And so what a gorgeous home, though. I mean, to find a little different than the apartment that they're used to in New mm-hmm. York, but absolutely, it doesn't look like a 1923 home. 6,870 square feet, absolutely redone with modern conveniences, gourmet kitchen, master suite. It's really a phenomenal place. But yeah, $5.5 million. How'd you like to have that as a rental property? I tell you what, but if I had to pick some tenants, I think I could do worse than Ivanka. So we'll take it there.
There you go.
So one of the things, as we head into and we start 17, we have had a lot of feedback from the listeners. We kind of go through the show every year and we do it. And it's just one of those things as people are, you'll see a lot of the health clubs around town. They're doing challenges. You've got some first of the year stuff. And that is really looking at what goes on with people. Maybe you had New Year's resolutions and you've already broken them or given up on them.
That's why I don't make them.
And some people don't even make them. So one of the things we did want to go over, though, that we go over with our listeners each year, and this is one of my favorite shows, we've done this the last 2 months on our team with business planning as we start to set things out. And one of the things that you could have selling your home as a goal for 2017. You could have weight loss. You could have business goals on there. So the biggest thing that we always love to start out is just one of the classic studies done way back in the day with Carnegie and then updated by companies like Franklin Covey and that type in the modern times, is that the study still rings true in today's society. And that is that only about 15% of our population have goals. And so that's a little crazy right there. You think, geez, Lance, why are you doing the radio show on that if, you know, 85% of us don't care? But I think we find a larger proportion of that in our community to be the case. It would be interesting if someone did a Tri-City study on that versus the national population. A lot of the people that I hang out with, I find to be a much greater percentage than that. But when you look overall, about only 15% of our population have goals. And then what gets crazy is that only about a third of those folks write those goals down. Now, that's where the big key difference comes into play, because studies have shown that you are 90%, I mean, we're not even talking a shadow of a doubt, 90% more likely to achieve your goals if they're written down.
Because then you can look at them and, well, duh, you won't forget.
Something happens in the mind, too. When you put pen to paper and you write that out, something clicks or changes mentally that allows that statistic to be in place. So one of the things that we do is we look at our team members and we look at our business planning and we look at what we're doing. And one of the reasons that has led us to be to outsell other teams, to have a higher level of production is because that's exactly how we think. And it is a requirement. We go through this with every member of our team and we say, here's what we're going to do. And we actually write out, we actually end up writing out five different categories that they set three goals in a piece. So we're taking it a step further. And so what we do is we have our team members go through and write out, number one, we want three goals under personal, mental, or spiritual. Right in that category under personal, mental, and spiritual. And McKay, that was somebody calling for a showing, and I forgot to put my phone on vibrate.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I'm going to get that during the show.
I'm going to get that voicemail when we get off the air because I'm probably going to have to go show a house.
Otherwise, if Lance weren't talking on the radio, he would answer your
phone.
That
doesn't happen too often. I don't forget too often to do that. So there we go. There's a good live on air show mistake there. But we were at personal, mental, and spiritual as the first category in those goals. Number two is we put family down. We think that you should have three of those family goals that you're after, whether that be trips, time, goals that you guys are working on together. Three is educational, and that's an interesting one because a lot of folks think, geez, you get out of school and then you're done with your education. I tell you what, absolutely not the case. We're constantly working on that. Karen and myself and other team members, we go to 4 to 5 out-of-town cutting-edge seminars with what's going on in the real estate industry. We've got two of our staff members next week actually heading to San Diego, our support staff, to be in a 3-day conference with the office of the head of another national real estate brokerage, but we know that this training is absolutely the best. So I'm friends with the president of that company nationwide, so we're able to plug our folks into that training system and utilize that. So education is huge. Of course, we have the physical on there like everybody else. They're working on it. It's a constant battle with what we're bombarded with, on top of personally with spending a lot of time in a car between appointments, you know, mobile office. Those drive-thrus look really attractive, John.
Oh, yeah.
And then the last one is financial, and that's a big category there that we focus on and make sure people are being fiscally responsible with what's going on there. So we have them lay out those goals in that category because we know about that study. We study exactly those statistics, what's happening. And we know that if our team members and members of our family are plugged into those categories and have those written down goal, you're already, that one act is giving you a 90% advantage. Over only 15% of the population. So we've basically cut that down to the top 1-2% of the population if you're following those two simple rules. Now, I say simple, but it's an exercise. You know, before you go to write it down, you've got to think about it. You've got to think why you're doing it. And
realistic.
There's a lot that can go into it. And McKay, I'm glad you brought that up because you've been on this show throughout the years. And so, you know, folks, and he gave us a little preview about what we like to go through. And we tell folks that in that category, as you're working on your own plan and you're putting this down, and let's say it is to sell a house in 2017 or buy a house in 2017, we want those goals to be what we call SMART goals. And SMART is an acronym for what we're using for setting those goals. So the S in SMART is we have specific. Okay, so let's take the easy one, like healthcare or losing weight. Specific mm-hmm. is not in 2017, I want to be healthier. Okay, that's not a great goal. Actually, if that comes to me, it's a terrible goal. And it's not the healthy part that's good. The problem is it's not specific. What does healthy mean to you? Do you want to lower your blood pressure a certain amount of basis points? Do you want to only drink alcohol so many days a week? do you want to lose a certain number of pounds of weight? So we got to drill down on that, and it's got to be specific. So in the SMART acronym, we've got specific down. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then we've got the M in SMART is measurable. Okay, it's not run faster or lift more. It's how much more. What do you want your 100-yard time to be? You know, how much, what do you want your bench press to be? What do you want your mile time to be when you're walking or jogging or running?
What do you want your weight to be?
So really coming down to, is that goal measurable? And sometimes that's a tough one. That's a really tough one because people have a great goal and it might be specific. And then we'll look at the metrics on measuring it, especially in business when you're like, you know, I want to create a happier culture or something like that. You know, that's a great goal and people want to be in that. But when you're a business owner or when you're working on that environment, now we have to decide how are we going to measure happy? Okay, and that's not always the easiest thing to do, but we have to come up with some surveys and some mechanisms and some results. And so that's where this gets a little complicated. It all seems pretty easy. And then we dig into stuff like measurable and it gets a little bit harder. Mm-hmm. Three, the A in SMART is attainable. Can it be done? Can Lance be an offensive lineman for the Seattle Seahawks? Probably not going to happen,
well,
McKay. Okay, so we've got to go with attainable, right?
Yes.
So we've got to look at that, and I'm a very positive person, and I'm always really shooting for these crazy, insane goals. But I've also got mentors and coaches in my life that come in and say, okay, Lance, that's fantastic. I love it, but let's set out a game plan here and let's really look at the logistics. Is this attainable? And so attainable is a big one. Can it be done? And then four, this is exactly what McKay had shadowed with when he said R in SMART is realistic. He hit the nail on the head. And that is it realistic for us to do that? Is it realistic to go from selling, you know, 100 homes a year to 900 in 1 year? Okay. Yeah, that's going to be a jump that without the proper structure, it's just not realistic. So yeah, we've got to, not only is it attainable, can it be done? Has somebody else done it before? Can we find a new path to create it? But then also as a separate is it realistic? How realistic is it that with the perfect plan that we could get to that? So that's another big one. And that's a hard one because you're not trying to discourage goal setting, but you also want to make sure sometimes it's crushing if someone sets an unrealistic goal and then fails to meet it. It could really set somebody back the wrong way with where you make those tweaks ahead of time. You don't have to worry about that. Boy, and then the last one, the T in that, SMART, and that is timeline. Oh. And really that timeline is huge because a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people out there, they have a paper due and they have 2 weeks to do it and it's due on Friday, Thursday night. McKay, there's a lot of typing going on.
A lot of cramming.
So if people have a timeline or a deadline to go with that goal, it puts urgency there. And then it also, mm-hmm. that urgency requires us to put a plan together to meet that. So we spend a lot of time working on that, going over that, going into the SMART goals, and then laying it out. And so this is a real similar process that we follow when we bring buyers into our office for a buyer consultation for buying in 2017. We have sellers that want to sell in 2017, and that's their goal. So we look at that, go through that procedure, and then say, here's the steps we need to take. Here's the SMART goals that go along with that. And how can we make that possible? We're coming up on our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about that goal setting, mm-hmm. what that looks like when you're looking to sell in 2017, and how we can a few more tips and tricks to let us help you meet your New Year's resolutions, goals, or key when I come back from the break. Let's look at those as maybe a promise.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been talking a little bit about putting a plan and some goals together for 2017. We always like to do this show to kind of kick off the beginning of the year here. I think everybody's just about had it with the snow and cold weather and delays and no school. But I know the kids enjoyed it, and it also, one thing it does, it gives you some time inside to maybe lay out a little bit of a plan, maybe work on some of those goals. And so here on the business side, we like to call that business planning, and we put that together. We actually start in late October, early November, and get that all dialed in. But really what happens is we meet with clients and meet with sellers and people that want to sell their house. They put that down as a goal. It's like a miniature business plan when we meet with those sellers. And mm-hmm. actually, the great part about this weather is, you know, we're all dialed in. And this last week, we've been ready. We've got the all-wheel drive vehicles and studs out. And we actually went on 7 or 8 listing appointments for people looking to sell the last week. So we're actively meeting with sellers that want to be ready as soon as we can get pictures, get in there, and help them get their house sold. But the number one thing I wrote down before the break, we talked about SMART goals. And SMART being S specific, M measurable, A attainable, R realistic, and T a timeline, putting a deadline on it. Well, the first thing that we do is we sit down with the seller and we really say, hey, and we start to say, hey, what are your needs? What does that look like? You know, how soon do you need to be moved? why are you selling? Do you really have to sell? Maybe there's a situation with some remodeling or some changes that you don't need to sell. But if there's a job transfer or a change in lifestyle and you're wanting to downsize or upsize because more kids are coming, or maybe there's parents that are aging that are you're gonna move into one spot. So we really get an idea of what those needs are and take a look at that. And that's kind of the first step in when we meet, is what's going on there. The next thing that we like to do is we just look at the condition of the property. People ask, one of the big things we've been doing, it's a little difficult outside this last couple of weeks, but inside we are looking and seeing what condition needs to change for us to get top dollar. And that's the thing that we look at a lot, is we're looking at condition and price when we're out there. And sometimes people are handy and they may want to make those changes. Maybe it's amazing sometimes what $300 worth of paint and some touch-up and some painting does to the value of a home. And so we're out there doing that analysis in real time, taking a look at the property. Here's what I would do. If I was going to sell the property, you could invest $300-$500 here, and we could probably get $2,000-$3,000 back.
Now, like painting the front door.
Or painting the front door. We talk about that every year when we do our survey of the biggest bang for your buck that you can get. What has the best ROI, return on investment? Now, a lot of times, by the same token, we will go out to homes and we'll meet with somebody, and they really like to watch HGTV, and they might just like to remodel. They'll be like, okay, we're going to put the house on the market, but before we do it, Lance, we're going to do granite countertops in the kitchen, and we're going to do a subway backsplash. And what do you think? I mean, I think it's a must. I see that's what everybody's doing. And so we'll look and we'll laugh a little bit and talk about HGTV. And we know those shows. I've watched those shows, you know, so we look at what the trends are. But a lot of times we'll look at the comparables. And it's interesting because if we're in a home, let's say that's $200,000, and this home is in that neighborhood, and it's just like the last three that have sold for 200, I'm going to look at that and I'm going to say, you know what? Here is the last three homes. They've all sold for 200, and not a single one of them had granite or a subway tile backsplash. Maybe they were all just, you know, newer Formica linoleum floors. Well, what that tells us is that for the size of your home and the location and the neighborhood, and what the appraiser's going to look at when they send the bank out, is you're probably only going to get about 200 if that's what the last three sales are.
Because so, if you do too much, it's going to put you in a different comp category.
It'll put you in a different comp category. And actually what happens is, because those homes are closer and more like yours, you might be stuck with those comps. You might not get to go to a different category. Mm-hmm. So you could have gold-plated sinks and an elevator. and if the size and neighborhood and those comps are there, you're not going to get a return on that investment. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we go out and look. We say, hey, you're looking to upsize. Let's save your money. You're going to get this 200. If you did all of that, you might get 202. And spend $8,000 doing it. Terrible return, right?
Yeah.
You're negative. And so a lot of times we'll look at it and say, hey, there's no need to spend that money here. Let's, you know, move you to your house you're upsizing to, and let's save that $6,000 negative and put it into the new house. And so a lot of times people have ideas of stuff they're going to want to do. And as many times as we say, yes, 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 that's a great idea, we say, no, no need. Doesn't matter, might matter to you, but not going to matter in the resale market. So that's part of, you know, a lot of that in that goal setting, that's part of measurable and realistic. You know, we can measure our return on that, and we're being realistic for what the comps are. So we're using those same type of strategies when we're looking at that pricing and condition. The other thing is, there's a lot of times, especially right now with weather delays and contractors, where we need to be realistic about our time frames. How long is it going to take you to do that? if we're in a market with low inventory and there's a lot of buyers looking, the other thing is a convenience factor is do you have to do that? Could we just make that price adjustment now, but be attractive enough in a low inventory situation to still get you the offers that you need? And so, and I tell you what, right now sellers have had a really, really big advantage with the low inventory. So if there's a couple things that are off a little bit or different in the past, it would be a much bigger deal for sellers. Right now, they're in a situation where if you're going to sell or you've thought about it, boy, it has been a fantastic time to do that. So we're going through that evaluation with the sellers. We're talking about their goals. We're setting some timelines, setting some deadlines, and we're using those exact same principles when we evaluate those homes and make those evaluations. Buyer side, same thing, except for on the front end, the buyers, you've got a little bit more homework to do. We've got some credit things to look at. We've got some applications to do. We've got some pre-approvals to have ready. So, like I said, I'm getting updates daily on interest rates. We've had a little bit of a reprieve. Things jumped up. You know, we had some reactionary issues to the rate increases. We've had a little bit of a reprieve. I tell you what, I was looking the last couple days, just kind of an average, not a quote or anything. We're still looking at those 30-year fixed in the low fours, 4.125, 4.25, and we're still looking at the 15-year fixed in the threes. So I tell you what, those rates are still screaming. We've not had a runaway. It's still a fantastic time to look at that. If you're going to do new construction, there's options to get in a contract now and do a six-month lock so that we're locking in today's interest rate on those prices. It's the best of both worlds. So if you're looking at those new construction builds, go to kenmoreteam.com, shoot us a message. We'll get you with an expert in the new construction process and go through that. And like I said, we're not letting the snow stop us, McKay. It's eventually going to melt. If the forecast is right, hopefully that is next week.
Yes.
But we've been building up to it and getting ready before that. There's still a lot going on in the market. Give me a call. Hit me up on my phone, 727-8977. Or like I said, go to kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us a message. We'd love to get out there, show you some properties, help get your property on the market. And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.